Well, for my first question for you, what is Theocracy doing right now, and what do you guys currently have going on as a band?
Right now, we are right now really doing nothing, but it's just sort of the calm before the storm. We're actually about to fire back up rehearsals. I say nothing, but, you know, a lot of interviews and album promotion, but I mean, as far as, you know, playing, we're really doing nothing, but we're about to start rehearsals back up, and we're doing we're actually toying around with the idea of doing a little CD release party here locally, which is, we're from Athens, Georgia, which is about an hour and a half outside of Atlanta, and, you know, there's no metal scene at all here, really, at least for, you know, melodic stuff like we do, so we haven't, you know, we play Atlanta every so often, you know, with other similar bands, but we haven't played Athens in years and years, you know, so, but we're thinking about maybe try to do a little show here just to see if anyone will show up now, you know, because the, As World Bleeds, our new album, it's been surprising sort of the, you know, the U.S. success that we've had all of a sudden. I mean, as far as, you know, we hit the Billboard Heat Seeker chart, you know, we debuted number 2 on Amazon and Hard Rock and Metal downloads, you know, and it's done. You know, none of us really saw that coming over here because, you know, to this point, you know, we've done much better in Europe, and so it's sort of along those same lines, kind of wanting to test the waters and thinking, well, you know, if we played a little hometown show, I wonder if anybody would show up now, you know, because they never did, you know, years ago, last time we did. So we're thinking about that. We're playing a festival in Finland at the end of April. And then beyond that, it's all, everything's sort of in talks right now. You know, we just got back from our second European tour, you know, towards the end of the year last year, and we're talking about maybe going back over again for some more shows, and we're also talking about maybe, you know, hitting a few, you know, U.S. cities that we haven't played before. You know, so a lot of stuff in the planning stages right now, and things kind of about to wind back up as far as rehearsals and getting ready for shows.
You know, you kind of hit on something a little bit, and this wasn't going to be my next question, but now it's going to be, and that's, you know, melodic metal really isn't huge over here in the States. I mean, you do have a fan base for it, but it's kind of spread out, you know, throughout the country. And it's not like it is, say, in like Europe and everything like that, but, you know, being the type of band that you are and being the type of, and with the type of metal that you play, you know, how difficult is it for you? And I'm not familiar with the scene down in Georgia or anything like that, but, you know, how difficult is it for you to get it noticed and get some exposure here?
Well, we, it depends kind of, I mean, it could be worse, you know, it's sort of a weird, we're kind of in a weird vacuum right here in Athens, which is a college town, you know, it's my hometown, I love it and all that stuff, but, you know, Athens fancies itself a music town, but it's very, you know, it's very kind of college rock, kind of, you know, very, and, you know, there is some variety, but you're not going to, you know, pull a bunch of people, you know, playing what we play, and so, but, you know, in Atlanta and sort of surrounding areas, it's a little bit better, so, you know, we've played shows in Atlanta, kind of, you know, there's a guy named Hoyt Paris who, he has a company called Pathfinder Promotions, and he puts together shows a good bit. And sort of similar, you know, Halcyon Way is from Atlanta, and there are other similar bands that are at least, you know, sort of in the melodic style that kind of play the area. So we play with those guys, you know, every so often in Atlanta. So it could be worse, you know. Like you said, there's definitely no huge, you know, crowd for it or whatever, but it seems to be getting better lately, you know. We're playing, that's the other big thing that we have coming up, you know, later in the summer. I think it's the end of July, sometime in July. It's the Pathfinder Metal Fest, and that's going to be, you know, an Atlanta show. And those have gone kind of better and better lately. So it seems to be on the upswing, hopefully, so that's cool.
One of the really cool things about you got about Theocracy is that every year, and you didn't do it this past year, but every year you guys decided to record a Christmas song for everybody, and you know, why did you start doing this, and why did you stop doing it?
Well, it started out as just something for fun, something I thought would be cool. You know, this was, you know, way back, you know, right after the first album came out, so I guess it was, you know, Christmas '03, and I guess probably the Trans-Siberian Orchestra thing was, you know, already huge or whatever, and it just started out as a cool idea that seemed like it would be fun, you know, taking some of the parts that I liked as Christmas songs and doing something, you know, more metal with them, and put them more in our style, and, you know, maybe speedier, and that kind of thing. And then, I don't know how I got from that to it becoming sort of an expected thing every year, but somehow it did. But it was just a combination of you know, something that I thought would be fun and kind of cool, and then also just kind of a thank you for the fans at the time, you know, a little gift. I always liked when bands would put, you know, you'd put a little something online on Christmas or whatever for the fans, and so I thought it was a cool tradition. And the problem was that in that first year I did this huge medley of pretty much all the parts I liked of all the Christmas songs that I liked, and just there wasn't much left, so eventually it got to the point where, you know, we were writing new ones and things like that. So it just kind of developed into a tradition at some point.
Now, something that I found interesting in listening to your first album is that you recorded everything yourself, and all the instruments are played by you. You composed everything on the album. And why did you decide to compose everything on the album yourself? And, you know, this came at a time when melodic metal really wasn't that well known over here. So what kind of reception did your self-titled album get?
Well, it was out of necessity. You know, it wasn't a thing of, you know, I want to play everything and I want to, you know, do it all myself at all. You know, I always wanted a band. There was just, you know, here in the middle of Georgia, you know, I couldn't find anyone who even knew what this music was, you know, I mean, let alone wanted to play it. So eventually I had, the whole reason I got into this was to write songs. I mean, that's what I love to do. So I was always writing, you know, regardless. And eventually I had a collection of songs that you know, I thought were good enough, and Metal Ages Records at the time, you know, heard a little demo, I think, that I did of three songs or whatever, and wanted to put them out. So that's how it, that's how it sort of came to be. You know, it was basically a collection of demos, you know, and there was just nobody else around, so I did it all myself out of necessity. The reception was, I guess it depends on sort of, you know, perspective. I mean, you know, commercially, it certainly wasn't anything, you know, but for me, you know, the people that heard it, the people who were fans of the sort of that style seemed to really, really like it. I mean, word of mouth, you know, and reviews and stuff were really good, you know, across the board, you know, aside from, you know, production issues and whatnot. But, I was really happy, you know, at the time. I mean, you know, we had, there's a big, I guess probably the, you know, the premier sort of melodic metal festival here in the States, you know, Prog Power, which is an annual festival here in Atlanta, and one of the songs from the debut album was on their CD sampler that they do every year, and got a lot of attention that way. You know, it was one of the big, you know, 12-minute epics or whatever, and so that sort of got things started on a good footing, and it kind of went from there, so I was happy with it, yeah.
Let's talk about the newest album you've put out back in 2011, just recently, an album called As the World Bleeds, and talk about the themes and the production of the album. Just talk about the record in general and what you wrote some of the songs about on this release.
Yeah, As the World Bleeds, this is the big difference with this one is, well, I guess backtracking a little bit, our second album, Mirror of Souls, in 2008, that was, we were a three-piece at that point. excuse me, I'm sorry. We had a drummer and another guitarist, and then this is the first one where we're finally a full-on five-piece band. You know, we got a smoking lead guitarist named Val Allen Wood, and a new bass player, Jared Oldham, and it's just a fully functioning live band now. big thing about this album, you know, as far as kind of what sets it apart from the predecessors. And thematically, I mean, Theocracy, you know, we are a Christian band, and so there's a lot of, really in one way or another, all the lyrics and themes sort of go back to that in some way, you know, from that perspective, and tackle different things, you know, hopefully kind of in a thoughtful manner. I mean, some of the main themes with As the World Bleeds, and really the title, you know, specifically is sort of how kind of humanity has you know, messed our world up so much. And there's a lot of, you know, topics about sort of duality, kind of human nature, you know, versus spiritual nature, and darkness and light, and that kind of stuff. So there's a pretty good variety of topics that are covered, but it all comes kind of from that worldview.
Okay, hold on a second. Now, it's funny how artists, when they talk to you, they tell you what some of the meanings are behind some of the songs, how it completely can change your viewpoint on everything. But one of the highlights of this album is the album cover itself, which I thought was really well done. And talk about the significance of the album cover to as they relate to the songs in the album.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, it's we put so much time and effort into, you know, every note of the music, and it's also important, and you know, we feel the same way about the whole presentation. I mean, I've never liked when bands, you know, skimp, or labels, you know, whatever the case may be, skimp on artwork and sort of the whole presentation. I mean, it just seems cheap and uncaring, you know, so it was very important, you know, and it kind of came about through talking to Emil at Ulterior Records. You know, he's the head of our record label, and we were kind of kicking some ideas back and forth about, you know, As the World Bleeds, and sort of that song and title kind of talks about how we've humanity's kind of gotten ourselves into this mess, you know, by sort of pursuing our own selfish interests, and we like to blame God for it, or blame, you know, whatever for it, but, you know, really it's our responsibility, and it was a strong title. It's kind of, you know, iconic, and so there were a lot of different sort of approaches it could take, and really the artwork just developed out of a discussion, you know, with us in the label, and it was done by Felipe Machado Franco. He did, we actually worked with him before, not on the cover of the last album, but on the booklet, you know, a lot of the booklet images inside, and things like that, and he's worked with, you know, Blind Guardian and Iced Earth, and a lot of known bands, and so, you know, we loved his work, and wanted to work with him again, and he basically, I don't know, honestly, like, you know, we picked a lot of ideas back and forth, you know, like I said, between me and the label, and then I think the label sort of presented his ideas to Felipe, and he kind of went from there, so it was kind of a collaboration between them, I think, you know, to come up with the finished product. But yeah, you know, once I saw, you know, the first draft of it, I was really excited about it. I think it looked great.
Now, anybody listening to this, that you may or may not know, that the band has, you guys have a previous album entitled The Mirror of Souls, which is your second release, and talk a bit about the making of that album and what some of the themes are behind the songs on The Mirror of Souls.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that one was after the huge, long wait, you know, it was 5 years pretty much between the first two albums for a variety of reasons, you know. It was a lot of stuff, you know, finding new band members, you know, the writing, you know, the label situation. There was a bunch of reasons that it took so long. But anyway, it eventually came out, you know, as I said before, it was a three-piece, you know, with you know, the main knock on the first album was, you know, the fact that I'd had to do it all myself, and so the drums were fake, you know, and they sound fake and that kind of stuff. And so having a real drummer, this, you know, on Mirror of Souls was a big, you know, it breathed a lot of new life into the album. And it was, you know, it was just pretty much across the board, you know, rave reviews. And so it was, you know, this time around it was a little intimidating to follow that up, but people really loved Mirror, and it's, you know, the there's only 8 songs, but the title track is 23 minutes, so that's sort of the big centerpiece of the thing, and goes through, you know, a lot of different moods, and sort of does everything that we do, you know, and so yeah, that was a, you know, among our fans, you know, it was a very beloved album, and a very kind of a natural progression, and then I think As the World Bleeds sort of picks up where that left off and progresses things naturally even further, you know, with the two new band members and so forth.
Well, I have to say, for a melodic metal release over here in the U.S., you guys have made some waves. You were in the Heatseeker charts on Billboard, which is, you know, it's kind of unheard of that a band like you, a band like Theocracy, ends up in those charts. But you guys did it, and you guys have had some success, not only in Europe, but over here in the States for this new release. And now that you've had some success, do you plan on maybe doing some tour dates here in the States?
We have, actually. We've actually been talking about it recently, because, you know, As the World Bleeds was sort of eye-opening. I mean, you know, it came out, and we, I think I mentioned already, we only had really most of our successes in Europe. You know, that's where this style of music has always been more popular. I mean, hitting, you know, the Billboard Heatseeker chart, and number 2 on Amazon, and all that stuff, and we were like, whoa, where did this come from? You know, there was suddenly seemed to be a lot more of kind of U.S. market interest, and then, you know, our webmaster would send us some numbers and stuff, you know, as far as traffic, and so much of the traffic was coming from the U.S. now that it's like, it was almost like there was this big shift. And so, yeah, we started talking about it, you know, what can we do? You know, kind of looking at some of the key areas where a lot of our, you know, whatever it may be, you know, fan interest, you know, via the website or requests or traffic or Facebook or what, you know, whatever it may be, kind of where the kind of key areas are. So we're actually talking now about, yeah, trying to see if we can string together a little tour hitting kind of some of those key areas, you know, in one fell swoop. We're trying to figure out if it's doable and kind of the best way to go about it. So I really hope it happens. It's exciting, you know. Anything that doesn't involve, I mean, it, you know, it's, there's a lot less involved than there is going to Europe, you know, with all the plane tickets and the big expenses, shipping equipment and merchandise and all that stuff. So that sounds great. I really hope that we're able to do it soon.
You guys played the Prog Power Showcase once or twice, and have they thought about inviting you to play the Prog Power Festival itself?
That's a good question. We would love to. Well, you know, happy to anytime. I haven't heard anything, you know, recently from them. So I think they set their, you know, their roster, you know, at least a year in advance or whatever, pretty constantly. But yeah, I know Glenn, the head honcho over there, and we would love to do it anytime, yeah, especially now, you know, that we're sort of a, you know, full-on, you know, touring kind of, you know, all 5 members kind of entity now, you know, so I think it would be great. We'd love to do it anytime.
Hold on a second. I'm just waiting for stuff to quiet down here.
Sure.
We, assuming you and I are probably pretty close to the same age, so I'm just kind of curious, you know, what are some bands and singers that really had a big influence and a big impact on you?
Well, Jeff Tate's a big one. I mean, Queensrÿche was always my favorite band, you know, in high school, for sure. And then, you know, I mean, obviously the, you know, all the standard ones, really, you know, Bruce Dickinson, you know, and then some more, you know, in the power metal genre, I would say, you know, Tobias Sammet and Tony Kako and things like that. Although, you know, to be honest, I was always really more influenced by songwriters. I mean, I paid attention to singers to a degree, you know, but it's songwriters are always, you know, the ones that I really paid attention to, but yeah, just kind of all the classics, I would say, you know, Tate and you know, Dickinson and those guys.
seems all the time when you come out with an album, people ask you, hey, have you started writing for another one? And I guess I'm going to ask you, have you started writing for another album? And have any songs taken shape for the next release?
Yeah, you know, I've got some ideas kicking around and some strong melodies and riffs and stuff like always, but it's so early that I don't have any real, you know, direction or idea yet. You know, it has to be right. You know, I mean, the important thing for us is to never, obviously, you know, to never rush anything, as you can tell by our release history. But you know, to me, it's always important that every song is great. You know, I don't like when bands put crap out. You know, just to have something out. I mean, it's always bugging me. You know, it's always been important to me to never have a throwaway song. You know, and every song would be solid. And so it just kind of has to happen naturally. But yeah, we've got some good ideas. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, letting them develop, which always takes time. I think the next thing on the agenda, though, is I think we're actually going to re-release the first album because it's out of print now, and there's a lot of there's always a lot of demand for it. And I think what we're probably going to do, still kind of in talks, but have Sean record, you know, real drums for it and remix it and put it out that way on Ulterium, because that's one of those sort of tricky things, you know, where, because even though it wasn't a huge album or anything, you know, there are a lot of fans that are, you know, very attached to it. So it's, you know, it's kind of toyed briefly with the idea of kind of redoing it or whatever, but I think probably what we'll do is just put some real drums on it and remix it and have a decent sounding version out of it, you know, released. And then we might also, you know, do full band versions of two or three of the songs or something like that, kind of updated versions. So I think that's kind of next on the agenda. And then we have we'll kind of see what happens, I guess.
Last but not least, my last question for you is, what do you have to say to the metal fans out there in the States, and any last words for the fans listening to this interview?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for listening, thanks for the interview, thanks for supporting Theocracy, as the world bleeds. I'm happy that you found out about it, you know, and it's cool that you just now found out about it, and that means that, you know, the word's still getting out there, and I'm glad that we can make your albums that got left off of the best of the year list. and yeah, man, just thank you guys so much for listening and for supporting us. I mean, we really do, you know, work as hard as we can on the material, so it's awesome when people like it.